conference. First, huge thanks to my co-chair, Margaret Beckett, and also to you, Angela, for your leadership in the National Policy Forum and your brilliant chairing of our conference and our party. Thank you very much, Angela. Conference. 20 years ago, at this Labour conference, we together took the historic step of reforming our party's constitution. The result is on the back of our membership card today. Our goal, a community in which power, wealth and opportunity are in the hands of the many, not the few. Our conviction that by the strength of our common endeavour, we achieve more than we achieve alone. 20 years on, that Labour vision, our Labour values, are more relevant than they have ever been. Because while our economy is growing again, taxes are up, wages are down, NHS waiting times are rising, most working people are still not seeing any benefit from the recovery. It's no wonder the country is crying out for change. But at a time when trust in all politicians is at an all-time low, and when even after deep spending cuts and tax rises for working people, our deficit is still high, this is our task, not to flinch from the tough decisions we have to make, but to show the country there is a better way forward. Labour's plan for Britain's future, our common endeavour to build an economy that works for the many, not the few, for all working people in every part of our United Kingdom. And conference, when we think of those words, by the strength of our common endeavour, we achieve more than we achieve alone. Don't they resonate more loudly after the events of the last few days and weeks? Because, conference, we meet here in Manchester, a united party in our still United Kingdom. And let us pay tribute to Joanne Lamont and Margaret Cohen, Alistair Darling and Gordon Brown, Anna Sawa, to Jim Murphy, Douglas Alexander, in my team, Cathy Jameson, all the MPs and MSPs, party workers, volunteers, more beyond our party too, who worked so tirelessly to win last week's vote. Conference, we thank them all. But let us never forget, after all the campaigning and the brilliant barnstorming speeches, the decision to stay together and shape Scotland's future within our United Kingdom was not made by politicians or pundits. It was made by the people of Scotland. They voted to retain the shared prosperity and security and solidarity our union brings. But the people of Scotland did not vote for the status quo. They voted for the opportunity to shape Scotland's future with greater devolution. And it is our duty to deliver on that promise, and for Wales, and for the cities and regions of England too. Yes, we do need to change our constitution and reform and strengthen our union in a fair way, a process which, as Ed has said, must start from the people, not politicians. But we know too, in Scotland and across the rest of the United Kingdom, people want bigger change than that. Change which goes beyond powers and processes and parliaments and constitutions. It's radical change to build an economy that works for all working people. Knocking on doors in my constituency a few Sundays ago, I spoke to a mum in Outwood. She told me her teenage son had finished college and he'd been looking for a job for ages. She was so relieved when he finally found a job, but she was worried because he's on a zero-hours contract. Every morning he rings in at 7 o'clock to see if they want him, and when they say no, he has to wait around all day. And she said, it breaks my heart because he deserves better than that. And she's right. And that story is no exception. It's one of thousands and thousands of doorstep stories all of us hear across our country every week. Parents worried about whether their children will get a job or an apprenticeship and whether the next generation will be worse off than ours. And they're relying on us, Labour, to make things better. Families and pensioners seeing prices rising in the shops, heating bills going up and up, millions of people in the private and in the public sectors struggling without a pay rise or unable to get the hours they need, still not feeling benefit from the recovery and relying on us, Labour, to make things better. Young people struggling to save to buy a house. Disabled people and family carers forced to pay the government's bedroom tax. Thousands of people working in our NHS, millions more relying on our NHS, worried about waiting times, rising and creeping privatisation, relying on us, Labour, to make things better. And conference, we must not let them down. And that is why it's our job to go on and win the next general election and change Britain and deliver this country from this unfair, out of touch and failing Tory government. And conference, we all know the weight, the great weight of responsibility we carry on our shoulders. That is why this party is so united and determined and fired up to get Ed into Downing Street. Over the last 4 years, Ed has led us from the front, reforming our party, leading a shadow cabinet with more women than ever before, more BME candidates than ever before, modernising our relationship with the trade unions, standing up for the victims of phone hacking, speaking up for the people of Britain on the cost of living crisis, demanding the reforms we need to change our economy at every stage. He has led this party with courage and strength and principle and vision, and he will do the same for our country, our leader, Britain's next Prime Minister, Ed Miliband. And as for David Cameron and George Osborne, going round the country saying they've fixed the economy, telling people they've never had it so good. How out of touch can you get? Prices still rising faster than wages, and the Tories say they've fixed the economy. The slowest recovery for 100 years. Business investment still lagging behind. The lowest level of house building since the 20s. 1 in 6 young people out of work. The gender pay gap widening again. Over 1 million zero-hours contracts. Working people £1,600 a year worse off. And the Tories say they've fixed the economy. What planet are they on? Conference, working people can't afford 5 more years of this Tory government. But you know, when the Tories say they fixed the economy, we know what they really mean. The millionaires who got a massive tax cut, that's who they fixed it for. The hedge funds funding the Tory party, that's who the Tories have fixed it for. The big investors buying Royal Mail on the cheap, Russian oligarchs buying tennis matches with Boris and Dave, that's who the Tories have fixed it for. Conference. It's the same old Tories. And it's the same old Tory economics too. Cutting taxes at the top and hoping wealth will somehow trickle down. Standing up for a privileged few while everyone is left behind. For the few, not the many, David Cameron, George Osborne, Nick Clegg, it's the same old Tories, every one of them. And now, David Cameron thinks a grateful and devoted nation is going to give him another 5 years in Downing Street. Another 5 years. You know what? Even his own party don't believe him anymore. Do you remember Cameron's A-list? Cameron's A-list? 9 Tories elected in 2010 already standing down from the A-list to the exit door in just 4 years. 9 Tories leaving, another scurrying off to UKIP, and Boris scrambling back to Westminster, preparing to elbow David Cameron out of the way. Although perhaps today, the less said about elbows, the better. That's today's Tories going on about Cameron giving up on the general election, starting to fight the next Tory leadership election instead. Conference, just remember what Michael Gove said a few weeks ago over a boozy dinner with his old boss, Rupert Murdoch, which somehow found its way into the newspapers. Don't know how. Michael Gove said that Boris Johnson has no gravitas. He said Theresa May has no friends. And he said only George Osborne is fit to lead. Only George Osborne is fit to lead. And how did Michael Gove explain his comments? He said he was tipsy. Tipsy? He must have been completely legless. Conference, we know working people can't afford 5 more years of the Tories. But this is no time for complacency, because this is the hard truth that we learn, not just from events in Scotland, but also from the local and European elections, the rise of UKIP, from the conversations we have on doorsteps and in workplaces week after week. Yes, the Tories are deeply unpopular. Yes, the country is crying out for change. But even after the progress and successes of our last 4 years, we have more to do to show Labour can deliver the change people want to see, that we've learned from our time in government, to show that we'll make the tough decisions to get the deficit down and that we can change our economy and make it work for working people. So, conference, is more important than ever that we, the Labour Party, are honest with the country about what the last Labour government got right and what we got wrong. Like you, I'm proud of so many of the things we did. Conference, we, Labour, introduced the first ever national minimum wage, and we will raise the minimum wage if we win the election next year. We, Labour, introduced free nursery places for the first time ever, and we will expand free childcare for working parents if we win the election next year. We, Labour, introduced civil partnerships and paved the way this year for our country's first ever same-sex marriages. We opened 3,500 Sure Start children's centres. We made the right call on not joining the euro. And most important of all, starting in 1997, after 18 years of neglect, we reformed the NHS, we invested in the NHS, we cut waiting times from 18 months to 18 weeks in the NHS. Conference, we saved our National Health Service from the Tories. And next year, after just 5 years of David Cameron, with waiting times rising, fewer nurses, a crisis in A&E, we will have to save the NHS from the Tories once again, and we will do what it takes, because, conference, it's the oldest truth in the book. You can never, ever trust the Tories with the NHS. So, conference, we can be proud of many of the things we did. But where we made mistakes, like all governments do, we should be grown up about it. We should put our hands up, learn from the past, and explain how we'll do things differently in the future. We should have had tougher rules on immigration from Eastern Europe. It was a mistake not to have transitional controls in 2004. We must change the rules in the future. Longer transitional controls for new countries. A longer time people have to work before they can get unemployment benefit. Stopping people claiming tax credits and child benefit and sending it to families abroad. Cracking down on employers who exploit migrant workers and undercut wages by avoiding the minimum wage and proper rights at work. Tough controls, fair rules. That is what we mean when we talk about fair movement, not free movement. At conference, while it was the banks which caused the global recession, and it was the global recession which caused deficits to rise here in Britain and round the world, the truth is we should have regulated those banks in a tougher way. It was a mistake. We should apologise for it, and I do. And as we get the deficit down again, we must reform our banks so it can never happen again. And conference, we didn't do enough to tackle the underlying causes of rising spending on housing benefit and in-work poverty. So we will raise the minimum wage, build more homes to get people off housing benefit, and cap overall spending on social security. And we should not have scrapped the 10p starting rate of tax. The conference, we don't just need to learn from our mistakes, we also need to put right the mistakes this government is making. So we won't pay for new free schools in areas where there are excess school places. Conference, we will repeal the NHS bill and stop the creeping privatisation of the National Health Service. And yes, conference, in our first budget, the next Labour government will scrap the bedroom tax too. So we'll build on our record. We'll learn the mistakes from the last government. We'll put right the mistakes of the Tory government. We will change Britain and change Labour Party changing Britain. But we'll also face great challenges. Working people are already paying more taxes. Our public services are under great pressure. We know there would have had to have been tough decisions on tax spending and pay restraint in this Parliament, whoever was in government. But 3 years of lost growth at the start of this Parliament mean we will have to deal with a deficit of £75 billion, not the balanced budget George Osborne promised by 2015. That will make our task of governing hugely difficult. And this goes to the heart of the political challenge we'll face. People know we are the party of jobs and living standards and working people. But they also need to know that we will balance the books and make the sums add up, and that we won't duck the difficult decisions we will face if they return us to government. Working people have had to balance their own books, and they are clear government needs to balance its own books too. So, Labour, we will balance the books in the next Parliament. There will be tough fiscal rules. We will get the current budget into surplus and the national debt falling as soon as possible in the next Parliament. Tough fiscal rules, our National Policy Forum endorsed in July, demonstrating that however difficult, our party can unite in tough times to agree a radical, credible and fully costed programme for government. And we will legislate those tough fiscal rules in the first year of the next government, and they will be independently monitored by the Office for Budget Responsibility. So in our manifesto, there will be no proposals for any new spending paid for by extra borrowing. No spending commitments without saying where the money is coming from, because we will not make promises we cannot keep and cannot afford. And because we will need an iron commitment to fiscal discipline, We want the Office for Budget Responsibility to be allowed independently to audit the costings of every spending and tax measure in Labour's manifesto and those of other parties too. A bold reform which the Tories are desperate to block because they are running scared from having their own manifesto subject to independent scrutiny, and because David Cameron and George Osborne want to carry on peddling untruths and smears about Labour's plans conference. The next Labour government will get the deficit down. And Ed Miliband and all my shadow colleagues and my shadow cabinet colleagues are clear it will mean cuts and tough decisions. We will take the lead. So I can announce today that if we win the election on day one of the next Labour government, the pay of every government minister will immediately be cut by 5%. And ministerial pay will then be frozen each year until we've achieved our promise to balance the nation's books, because we are clear that everybody in the next Labour government must be fully focused on the task of getting the deficit down. At conference, our zero-based review of public spending is examining every pound spent by government to cut waste and make different choices. Andy is setting out how we can save money and improve care by pooling health and social care with a single budget and joint management. Yvette has set out how police forces will work more closely together to make savings, and we will scrap police and crime commissioners so that we can do more to protect frontline policing. Hillary is working with the toughest and best generation of local government leaders, led by Dave Sparks and Jim McMahon, to make savings and free up resources for the front line. We will look to prioritise early intervention now, which can save billions of pounds in the future, and we will insist that all the proceeds from the sale of our stakes in Lloyds and RBS are used not for a frivolous pre-election giveaway, but instead every penny of profit will be used to reduce the national debt. Conference, that is fiscal responsibility in the national interest. And we will have to make other decisions, which I know will not be popular with everyone. At a time when the public services that pensioners rely on are under such pressure, we will stop paying the winter fuel allowance for the richest 5% of pensioners. Over the long term, as life expectancy rises, we will need to continue to raise the retirement age to keep our pension system affordable. We will cap structural social security spending and keep the benefits cap, but we will make sure it is properly reflects local housing costs. And conference, I want to see child benefit rising again in line with inflation in the next parliament, but we won't spend money we can't afford. So for the first 2 years of the parliament, we will cap the rise in child benefit at 1%. It will save £400 million in the next parliament. All the savings will go towards cutting the deficit. But unlike the Tories, we will ask those who have the most to make the biggest contribution. That is why, with the deficit still high and working people already paying more, we opposed David Cameron cutting the 50p top rate of tax. Now cannot be the time to give the richest 1% of people in the country a £3 billion tax cut. So as we get the deficit down in the next parliament, the Labour government will reverse this Tory tax cut for millionaires. Because we'll balance the budget in a fairer way. In the next parliament, when we will continue to face tough spending constraints, I want pay settlements that are both affordable and fair. Private and public sector workers should all share in rising prosperity. So Labour will not undermine fairness and the independent pay review bodies by rejecting their advice out of hand. Instead, we will work with the pay review bodies, employers and employees, to ensure pay settlements are affordable and fair and do more for those on the lowest pay with tougher settlements at the top. And conference, we will also scrap the Shares for Rights scheme. We'll reverse the tax cuts for hedge funds. We'll crack down hard on tax avoidance and loopholes. And we will levy a tax on the highest value properties, a mansion tax on houses worth over £2 million, but we'll do it in a fair, sensible and proportionate way, raising the limit each year in line with average rises in house prices, putting in place protections for those who are asset rich but cash poor, and ensuring those with properties worth tens of millions of pounds make a significantly bigger contribution than those in houses just above the limit. Because how can it be right that a billionaire overseas buyer this year of £140 million penthouse in Westminster will pay just £26 a week in property tax, the same as the average value property in that area? Conference, we will make different choices for fairer deficit reduction and to safeguard our vital public services. That is Labour's plan to balance the books in a fairer way. Conference, our plan will balance the books, but an economic plan must do much more than that. We also need to change the way our economy works. We need to restore the broken link between the wealth of nations and family finances and deliver rising prosperity for all. Across the world, rapid technological change is replacing not just unskilled, but traditional skilled jobs too, in banking and offices, as well as on production lines. The result is a hollowing out of our labour market, with medium wage skilled jobs on the rise, low wage insecure employment on the rise. Conference, in this new world, we cannot succeed the Tory way through a race to the bottom, with British companies simply trying to compete on cost as people see their job security eroded and living standards decline. We can only succeed and create the number of good jobs we need through a race to the top. So Labour's economic plan will transform vocational education. We'll work with employers to introduce a gold standard technical qualification and radically expand apprenticeships. And we'll get young people back to work. Rachel Rees will introduce a compulsory jobs guarantee, a paid job for young people and the long-term unemployed, which people will have to take up or lose benefits. It will be paid for by repeating the tax on bank bonuses. We will end the scourge of long-term unemployment once and for all. And because a modern economy depends not just on traditional infrastructure, but on the most important modern infrastructure of all, childcare, we will increase the bank levy to expand free childcare for working parents for 25 hours a week to help mums and dads balance work and family life. We will give tax breaks to firms that pay the living wage. We will end the exploitative use of zero-hours contracts. And by the end of the next parliament, Labour will increase the national minimum wage to £8 an hour. And what's the Tory plan for the next parliament? They want to spend £3 billion on a tax break for a minority of married couples. People who are separated, widowed or divorced, they won't get it. Women who fled and divorced an abusive partner, they won't get it. Read the small print, two-thirds of married couples won't get it. Five out of six families with children won't get it either. And the Tories call that a flagship policy for families. In our first budget, we will scrap this unfair policy and instead use the money to introduce a new 10p starting rate of income tax, a tax cut for 24 million people on middle and lower incomes. More working people benefit, more women will benefit, more married couples will benefit, more families with children will benefit. That is a fairer way to help working people in tough times. And conference, Labour's economic plan means a modern industrial policy to back the new growth sectors, advanced manufacturing, clean technology and the creative industries. We want proper competition in banking and energy markets, new takeover rules to support long-term investment, not asset stripping, a proper British investment bank so businesses get the finance they need, giving the Green Investment Bank the borrowing powers it needs to do its job. And Chukwu Emunah and I have asked Graham Cole, Chair of Augusta Westland UK, to also review what more we can do to to back British exports. We'll keep our corporation tax rates at the lowest of the G7, but instead of another corporation tax cut next year, our plan will instead use that money to cut business rates for small firms, because it's time, conference, we had a fairer deal for small businesses in our country. Conference, why should decisions on what skills Manchester needs be made in Whitehall? Why should a transport minister in Westminster make decisions about all the transport needs of Birmingham or Newcastle or Leeds? Our economic plan will devolve power and resources not only to Scotland and Wales, but to the city and county regions in every part of England. Our new independent National Infrastructure Commission will end dither and delay on big infrastructure decisions we need for the future. And whatever the outcome of the Howard Davis review into airport capacity, we must resolve to finally make a decision on airport capacity in London and the South East, expanding capacity while taking into account environmental impact. No more kicking it into the long grass, but taking the right decisions for Britain's long-term future. And conference. In the housing market, demand's outstripping supply, risking a premature rise in interest rates, the housing benefit bill is rising. So following the Lions report, which we'll publish in a few weeks, and by making housing a priority within the existing capital settlement for the next Parliament, Labour's economic plan will get at least 200,000 new homes built by 2020, creating jobs, helping first-time buyers, and building the homes Britain needs for the future. And conference. Labour's economic plan is based on the clear conviction that Britain has always succeeded and can only succeed in the future as an open and internationalist and outward-facing trading nation. We need reform in Europe, cutting wasteful subsidies, getting the euro area growing again, reforming immigration rules, ending the waste of two European parliaments. So let us all build the alliances to secure reform and change Europe so that it works better for Britain. But conference, as we so heard so powerfully this morning from the chief executive of Airbus, we're not going to earn our way to higher living standards by walking away from our biggest single market. Let us say loud and clear, walking away from Europe would be a disaster for British jobs and investment. Conference on Europe, this party will always put the national interest first. Conference. That's Labour's economic plan. It's the kind of government we should be. Ambitious, reforming, doing what it takes to deliver an economy that works for working people in every part of Britain. And that's the kind of Chancellor I want to be too. People rightly want to know who we are, what drives us on, what makes us tick. So let me say this. I'd always rather taxes were lower, but my first tax cuts would be for millions of hard-working people, not millionaires. I hate wasteful spending, but I hate the waste of 1 in 6 young people out of work. I'm pro-business, but not business as usual. I'm pro-Europe, but I'd never join the euro. I love the NHS. I'll do whatever it takes to save it. And above all else, I want to build a better and fairer country for my children and all our children. Because as someone who's grown up with a stammer, I've worked all my political life to break down barriers so that all children can succeed and to get extra help and support to those children who need it, because I don't want to live in a society where children are held back by their special need or their disability, by their parents' income or the colour of their skin. That's why I'm Labour. I'm a realist. Conference, I'm a realist and an optimist. I don't believe in ducking difficult decisions, unpopular decisions, hard truths, but I believe in the power of politics and public service to make a difference. That's who I am. That's who we are. That's what our Labour Party is for, and that is why I am proud to be a member of this party and to serve in Ed Miliband's shadow cabinet. So, conference, we have learned from our past and our mistakes. We are tough enough to make the difficult decisions. And with Ed Miliband's leadership, by the strength of our common endeavour, we can make the change Britain needs. Conference, this is what our first Labour budget will do. A British investment bank set up, business rates cut, tax avoidance tackled, the deficit down fairly, infrastructure decisions made not delayed, the minimum wage raised, energy bills frozen, a jobs guarantee for young people, tax cuts for millions, not for millionaires, bank bonuses taxed, the bedroom tax scrapped, our NHS saved. That's what Labour's first budget will do. Fixing the economy for everyone, a plan for the many, not the few. People are relying on us to deliver. Conference, we will not let them down. Thank you.